Hello everyone, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute. It's time to prepare our hearts, because we know as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He will speak life into you. If you're experiencing any difficulties or any situations in life, you surrender it to God. God says, I will show you my ways. As you walk in His ways, know that you will experience the holy presence of God. You will experience victory. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God in peace. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we look to you now. And there's no place we'd rather be than right here in the presence of our Lord God in peace. And I ask you now, Lord, as our hearts are fully surrendered to you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak so clearly right into our souls that we don't want to leave here the same person. We know we want to be more like Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you will have your way. It's not about us. It's all about you. So, Lord, we come to give you glory. We honor you. We glorify your most holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, today the title of my sermon is Lady Luck versus Father God of Blessings. Lady Luck versus Father God of Blessings. I gotta tell you, living in Hawaii practically all my life, I frequently hear about the locals here traveling to Las Vegas in hopes of winning the jackpot. Whether it be through the rolling of the dice or through a card hand of poker or blackjack. You heard of Jake Shimabukuro, ukulele expert? His grandmother in 2003 won close to $9 million playing the slot machines. It was in the newspaper and the news, and it was big news. And, as Christians, we discourage gambling, right? You know that. Because, we know gambling may produce evil things in a person's life, such as greediness, lack of self-control, or it may develop an addiction where it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger day by day. But, often when people win big in Las Vegas, you may hear statements like, wow, she's so lucky. Lady Luck must be on her side. Or people may say, good luck to each other as a means to wish each other well as they take a test or engage in competition. But, sometimes you may hear a local say, hey, lucky, we live Hawaii, yeah? And they often are referring to the nice weather that we're having year-round or to the friendly people here with the lower spirit. And that's why you hear someone say, hey, lucky, we live Hawaii. But as Christians, should we refer to ourselves as lucky people? That phrase, Lady Luck, for good fortune that she brings, should we?
No.
Absolutely not. Well, we're going to look at what God says through the prophet Isaiah. Look what it says in Isaiah 65:11-12. And this is the Message translation, so this is a very modern translation here. Look what it says here. Look what God says. But you who abandon me, your God, who forget the holy mountains, who hold dinners for Lady Luck, and throw cocktail parties for Sir Fate, or you ask for it, fate it will be. Your destiny? Death. Well, let me ask you, do you still want to host Lady Luck for dinner? It says, for when I invited you, you ignored me. When I spoke to you, you brushed me off. You did the very things I expose as evil. You chose what I hate. Oh, this is God talking to his people. And we got to make it very plain and clear. When you give your praise and worship to something else or someone else, other than God, your relationship with God will be greatly affected. I want you to look at what it says here in Exodus 20. You're familiar with this because it's one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments of God. Look what it says there in Exodus 20:4-6, starting with verse 4. It says there, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a what? A jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Really, you want to mess around with God? You want to make him jealous? Don't do it. Remember, all your worship belongs to him, Him alone. So if we're not to refer to the goodness in our lives as being lucky, what should we call it then? Who knows?
Blessings.
Right. Look what it says here in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So you realize every blessing that comes in our life, okay, God is the one that's bringing it. Up in heaven, he's the one, he sees what's going on here in this planet Earth. And he says, I'm going to release my blessings upon my child because he gives all of his worship to me. That's what we must do. We always give God the glory. Nothing else but God and God alone. So the question here is, so what are the major differences between luck and blessings then? Well, look at 1A, okay? We're going to look at blessings and luck, and A will be the blessings part, B will be about the luck part. Well, first one, 1A, it says, Father God's blessings are deliberate and controlled. Look what it says here in Isaiah 46, 10 through 11. It says here, from the beginning I told you what would happen in the very end. A long time ago, I told you things that have not yet happened. And God says, when I plan something, it happens. What I want to do, I will do. I'm calling a man from the east to carry out my plan. He will come like a hawk from a country far away. I will make what I have said come true. I will do what I have planned. And you have to realize, there's no stopping God. What he wants to do, you can't stand in his way. No way. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm just going to block what God's going to do. No, you can't. I'm sorry. We're talking about the maker, the creator of the universe. You're going to stop him? Really? It's not going to happen. Because God is going to do what he wants to do in a person's life to accomplish his purposes. And according to these verses, he plans what he wants to do. He plans it. It tells us. He plans it. He thinks it. He says, okay, I want to do this. Then he carries it out. So when you realize that, you know what? God is making plans for all of us in our lives. And as we choose to walk in the ways of God, his plan will come forth. And you will be blessed because he's only got good in mind for you. He wants his very best for your life. And in verse 11, it tells us here, he calls a man from the east. And you got to understand, this refers to Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia. And you know, let me tell you what's going on here. God's people had been captured by the Babylonians, and God had already chosen him. Yes, he chosen Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, even before he was born, to set his people free. And get this, most historians believe that Cyrus the Great probably worshipped a pagan god. Yes, he did. And yet God chose him. And somebody said, why did he do that? Well, God will do whatever he wants. And he did it. And it was in God's plan to use him to accomplish his purposes. And we realize that when God will carry out his plan, his best will come forth. You can trust upon it. You can believe that God knows what he's doing. We don't know better than God, so we'll let God be God. Don't try to take things into your own hands. Give it over to God and trust in him. You know, Hudson Taylor, he's a missionary to China years and years ago. And he had definite convictions about how God's work should be done. He says, we can make our best plans and try to carry them out on our own strength, or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless them. Yet, he says, another way of working is to begin with God, to ask his plans, and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes. And you know what? Don't try to make your own plans. You go to God and say, Lord, what is your plan? Because I want to walk in your ways. I want to do what you call me to do. And then you go from there. Because a lot of times people will do that. They make all these careful plans, and then they say, okay, God, I hope you'll bless what I'm going to do. Instead of going to God first and saying, Lord, what is your will? What is your plan? I I want to be a part of it because I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you with my whole heart. I want to show you, Lord, that I want to be a part of this big plan you have for this entire world. And you're going to be so surprised by God, realizing that God already had you in mind. And sometimes God is waiting for your heart to say, yes, Lord, send me. I'm the one that wants to go. And then God says, okay, child, oh, I got big plans for you. And you're going to watch miracles happen in your life. I'm talking about big time miracles. You're going to watch the shower of blessings be poured forth upon your life. Well, look at letter 1B, or number and letter 1B. It says here, Lady Luck's occurrences all happen by what? Chance. Right in that blank, chance. And this is what it says in Isaiah 43, 11 to 12. It says, I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. So you got to realize that with Lady Luck, everything happens by chance, but with God, he's very deliberate, and he says, you can't go to anyone. No one else can save you but me and me and you, me and me alone. No one else. And we got to realize, it tells us, apart from me, there is no Savior. You know, a man named Edwin Robertson, he became blind and deaf after a truck accident. And get this now, 9 years later, he was struck by lightning, and within hours, his vision and his hearing were restored. True story. 9 years later, well, let me ask you, did this have to do with Lady Luck's luck or Father God's blessings? Blessings. And whether you believe in God or not, come on now. Really, you believe that that was all by chance? I believe God did something. I don't know if this guy was a believer or not, but God did something. We got to believe that. It's not by luck. It's not by chance. It's by the very hand of God. Okay, brother? By the very hand of God. He caught you, brother. You're okay. Praise God. You okay, brother? All right, brother. It's by the very hand of God that we know we are saved. And let me give you the definition of luck. Okay, the definition of luck means to prosper or succeed, especially through chance or good fortune. Let me read that to you again. The definition of luck means to prosper or succeed, especially through chance or good fortune. Does it have anything to do with God? No. So why are we saying, I'm so lucky? We should stop saying that as Christians, right? Because we feel like, sometimes I'll slip, you know, when something good happens. Oh, I'm so lucky. No. You're not lucky. You are blessed. Amen. And we realize that's what God wants to say, because we got to give all the glory to God. And if you're a Christian, the word lucky should no longer be a part of your vocabulary, especially when it concerns the good things that happen in your life. Why? Because when you say you are lucky, you leave God out. And you say that the good that has happened to you occurred just by chance, just by luck. And you don't want to do that. Exodus 33, 19. Look what it says here. It says here, and the Lord God said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Wow, would you like God to say that to you? I'm going to cause all. God is saying, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass right in front of you. And you're going to experience the goodness of God in its fullness. Wouldn't you want that? Just more and more God's goodness in your life. Because let me tell you, when God wants to give his blessings to you, you can count on it to be abundant. Because you know why? Our God is a generous God, and he loves to give, especially to his children that are devoted to him. And you know what's kind of funny? Did anyone ever wish you, hey, lots of luck when you're stuck in a very difficult situation? Because I remember, you know, when I was a young boy, right, I was with my two friends, and this teenager, he wanted to mug us. And, you know, I'm the skinny, scrawny one, right? So guess what? He picks on me. Give me your money, boy. And you know, my two friends kind of looked at me. Lots of luck, Dan. Well, praise God, I got out of it. I kind of tricked them. I said, hey, there's my uncle. Then, you know, he dug out. But my friends said, lots of luck to me. But you know what the definition of lots of luck means? Well, I looked it up. It means it's a sympathetic and ironic way of wishing someone success when it is obviously impossible. Yeah? You ever said that to someone? Yeah. Oh, lots of luck, man. And you probably thinking, hey, I know you're going to need luck because you're going to fail. Right? I just like saying, I wish you all the goodness of this world, but hey, oh, you're going to fail. So you know what? I don't want lots of luck then, you know? Don't say that to me. Just pray for me. And, you know, speak God's blessings over me. And that's the thing. When people tell me, oh, good luck, pastor. Oh, I hope you're going to preach that sermon powerfully. Good luck to you. I say, oh, don't say that. Just pray for me, brother or sister. That's what I want. That's what I need. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at 2a. It tells us here, God's blessings have to do with love and favor. Right in that blank, love and favor. I want you to look what the psalmist writes in Psalm 16, 5 through 7. This is what he says. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And you know, the psalmist is referring to the bountiful land that God has given to him. And you know, these boundary lines he's talking about have far extended beyond his expectations. And he's kind of overwhelmed. Lord, just look at all this land that I got. It comes from your hand. Praise you, Father. Let me ask you, when was the last time you praised God for what he has given you? This psalmist is saying, Lord, it's above and beyond what I could ever imagine. And you get to a point where you're so blessed. There are times, I got to tell you, when I just take a look around and see what I got. I'm talking like my family, just where I'm living. You know, it's just like, you know, God, what God has given to me. And a lot of times I'm saying, God, I don't deserve this. Really, Lord, thank you. Sometimes I cry because I'm so grateful knowing that it comes from the very hand of God. And you have to ask, why does he do it? Because of his love and favor towards us. Amen? That's why he does what he does. But can you just imagine every area of your life just falling into place? Everything just falling, boom, exactly where it should. Where you realize, man, I am so blessed. It's all because my Father God loves me so much. And the only thing you can do from deep within your heart is just praise him. And you can't stop praising him because you know this is what God wants for you. I'm going to tell you about this certain medieval monk that announced that he's going to be preaching the next Sunday evening, he will be talking about the love of God. And you know, the next Sunday came, and as the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, you know, the congregation started to appear. And they sat down, and as they sat down, the monk went up to the altar. And in the darkness of that altar, the monk, he lighted a candle and carried it to the crucifix. And basically, it's a wooden cross with a wooden carved out Jesus on it. And first of all, he illuminated the crown of thorns with the candle. And then the two wounded hands, and then the marks of the spear wound on the side of Jesus on this crucifix. And in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle. He left the sanctuary because, you know what? He had nothing else to say. That was his entire sermon. How would you like a sermon like that? But he made his point. This is about the love of God. What Jesus did for you and for me. And you realize sometimes, you know, people will come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know why you're talking about God wants to bless me. I don't see my life being blessed. I am not blessed. I say, you just think about what Jesus did for you. And you realize how blessed you are. Jesus laid his life down for you and for me so that we can have eternity with our Lord God and King. And that eternity starts right now. This eternity of blessings that God wants for all his children. And we have to realize God wants it for all. All his children that are devoted to him, that are willing to lay down their very lives for him. Because you're going to realize we are already blessed and that we are so loved because of what Jesus did for you and for me. And I got to tell you, there are times I'll just sit on the couch in my living room and sometimes I'm just feeling a little low, a little depleted, and I just start thinking about what Jesus did for me. And you know, at first, you know, I just think about Jesus hanging on the cross and the very fact he did it because of his love for me. But then I realize he rose again. Amen? And he's alive. And then the joy comes and I realize, man, I am so blessed. Sometimes you got to put things in perspective, yeah, brothers and sisters. We realize, yeah, we truly are blessed at all times. But look at 2B. It says here, Lady Luck's occurrences are non-relational. In other words, nobody to relate to. And what do I mean by this? Well, it typically means that when a person accredits his good fortune to being lucky, you know, you hear people say this, right? Oh, thank my lucky stars that I am so lucky. I thank my lucky stars. You got to realize his praises are upon something that is non-existent. What are lucky stars?
Something you eat.
Yeah, something you eat as a cereal, right? Lucky Charms, right? Yeah, that's right. Therefore, the person is not really relating to anyone for what has happened in his life. And he may not thank his lucky stars the next time when something good happens, right? You know, sometimes, you know, the next time he may simply say, oh, I'm just so glad I was there at the right time, at the right place. Oh, I'm lucky. See, there's no relation. When we say we are blessed, it's relation. We know it's God. The very fact he wants to release more of his blessings upon our lives because he loves us. Isn't that awesome? As believers, that's what we look to. And here's a case in point. You guys know Solomon, right? He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Near the end of his life, and during this time, although, you know, he is considered to be the wisest man in the Bible, you know, he started to have some struggles at this time, especially with the lust of his flesh, especially towards women. And, you know, according to 1 Kings 11:3, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Well, that's a lot of women. Well, praise God, but you know, the thing was, right, this time, you know, he was encountering some struggles in his life, and there were some things he was questioning, and there were situations in his life where, I mean, he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so during this time, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he made some questionable statements about his beliefs. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes 9:11, and this is the observation that Solomon makes. He says, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. Look what he says in the next statement here. Can you believe that? He says, it is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Did you ever scratch your head when you first read this? Go, wait a minute. I thought he was anointed by God. I thought he was a believer. And you got to understand, when he made this statement, it was a time when, you know, basically his foundation in God had been shaken, and with all the distractions around him, he was making some bad choices. But you got to understand something, though. You know, even though if someone, you know, is living a life that seems to be perfect, right? It seems like he's the wisest person on this planet Earth. Can he still make mistakes?
Yes.
Yes, he can, because why? He's human, right? Who's the only perfect one?
Jesus,
God, right? And we realize he's wise because, you know what? He wanted to make things right. But we realize, you know, in Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, you know, he knew about this. I want you to understand this, because in Deuteronomy 17, God had given clear instructions for anyone who would be king, that there would be no amassing of forces, no multiplying of wives. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 17. And no accumulation of silver and gold. Did he do all these things? Yes, he did. And his life will show that he broke all three of these divine prohibitions. He did. But he was still considered to be the wise man, as everyone thinks him to be, because guess what? He came to his senses. Now, how do we know this? Because at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he made this conclusion. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. He says here, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion. He says, this is my final conclusion, my final answer of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So now, you see, Solomon has changed his tune. He realized it's not by chance. Every good thing comes from the very hand of God. You trust in him, God says, I will bring it. I will see to a child that you will be blessed by my very hand. In other words, he is now saying, hey, there's no other way but God's way. And when you choose it, you will be blessed. That's what God says. And if you choose his ways, know that you're going to see great and mighty things happen in your life. I just want to talk to single people right now, especially you young single people. You know, sometimes, you know, someone, you know, will come to me and they'll say, you know, Pastor, I think I'm going to do what is called missionary dating. I go, what is that? Well, basically, it means to date a non-believer in hopes of the chance that you're going to convert them to Christianity. And, you know, because we know, you know, the Bible says, do not be yoked with the unbeliever. He says, no, Pastor, I'm going to work super hard. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to tell them about, well, his love. And I'll guarantee they're going to come to know Jesus. Yeah, it's going to happen. Guess what? Usually, you know, most cases, when I hear that, I go, oh, man, you're in trouble, man. And because guess what? You know, the other person, right, will say, oh, just stop talking about God already. You know, it's just about you and me. Right, why are you going to bring God into this? And I tell the person, you realize when you're going to be so emotionally charged up with this person, and you're trying to lead them to Jesus, but they said they're saying, no, I don't want to know Jesus. What are you going to do then? I mean, you could come to a point where you're committed to this person, yet this person is turning away Jesus. So don't go there. We got to realize we know that God will provide for us this person that he wants to have in our lives. We must trust upon it. It's not by chance. It's by the very hand of God that he says he's going to bring it. And I had to really come to a point at the age of 31. I'm thinking I'm getting old. But my brother and a lot of my Christian friends said, wait, this woman of God will come forth. And there she is. I'm so blessed. And I waited. And God gave me this wonderful woman. Amen. And my wonderful kids. And we realized that's what we got to do. Sometimes we just got to wait. Amen. Because God is preparing this person for you. Amen. And you know, the other thing I want to bring up is about businessmen. You know, sometimes, you know, someone will come to me and say, you know what, I'm going to go into partnership with this person, but this person is a non-believer. And they tell me, you know what, I'm going to witness to this person, and I won't get influenced by the worldly ways. It's okay. But you know what? Guess what happens? You know, the other partner will say, I'm going to do this. You know, this, I know it's a little dishonest, just a little bit. But everyone else is doing it, and you know what? I'm your partner, so you got to do what I got to do. I tell you, I hear about these things, and then guess what? You're kind of stuck. And now you're involved in something that you know is dishonest. So that's why the Bible clearly says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Don't say, I'm going to take a chance and see what happens. Oh, it's going to be good. No, you make it right from the very get-go. Amen? If it's not of God, walk away. You still be friends. You witness to this person, but don't be a partner with them, especially in business, because you're going to find yourself. You're going to be straight. I mean, you're going to start to walk away from the things of God, because this person will have an influence on you. So remember, you get it right from the very get-go. Amen? Well, 3A, look what it says here. A person can wholeheartedly trust in Father God's hand to bring forth His perfect plan of blessings in his or her life. And we got to realize, when you know that you're being blessed by God, you know it's coming from the very hand of God. And when you can trust in Him with your whole heart, you know it. He has a perfect plan for you. And when troubles come, guess what? You're standing strong in your faith because you trust in Him. And you know, Job was such a man. And we know about Job, right? Everyone knows about Job. Well, I thought he was Job when I first started reading the Bible. But it's actually Job, right? But we realize major things that happened because, you know what? The devil told God, hey, you know, this faithful servant of yours, oh, he's going to fall. Some things happen to him. Oh, he's gonna bail out. He's going to crush you, God. Well, God says, okay, go and test him. And we know what happened to him, right? He lost all his possessions. His children died in a house. All the walls just fell on them. And guess what? Now his health had been affected. And now, guess what? There are boils, the Bible tells us. Crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Imagine his whole body covered with boils. I mean, sometimes I get a pimple on my face. Oh, this is so sore. Ah, you know, but imagine boils, painful boils all over your body. You can imagine how freaking Job is, right? But look what it says here in Job 2, 8 to 10. It says here, Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. And look what his wife says to him. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh, what a wife. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? And it tells us here, so in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Oh, praise God. And look what it says there in Job 23:10. This is his statement that he makes when it's towards the end of all this testing. And he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And we know gold is such a precious metal, right? And when we can stand strong in the things of God, we are precious in the sight of God. Because God sees right into our heart. And he says, I truly see my child is dedicated to me, is devoted to me. That's what we must do. We got to realize that our full devotion belongs to God. Because when a Christian comes to the realization that God is perfect, that he can't make mistakes, there is a strong trust that is between him and God. And this bond, this strong trust, can't be broken. That's what we must realize. You know, there's a Christian author. His name is A.W. Tozer. And in his book, it's called The Pursuit of God. He puts it this way. He says, God is immutable. Which means that he has never changed and can never change in any smallest measure. And he says, to change, he would need to go from better to worse or from worse to better. And he can't do either. For being perfect, he cannot become more perfect. And if he were to become less perfect, he would be less than God. See that? And he says, knowing that God is perfect and His ways are perfect, you got nothing to worry about. Because no matter what happens in your life, you know God, He keeps working in your life. No matter what happens, you must trust that God, He will bring forth your best. And that you think at the very moment, right now, some things aren't going as planned. What you're thinking as what you want to happen in your life is not going as planned. You must hold on to God. You must say, Lord, I know You have a plan for me. I'm trusting You. Even things aren't going the way I want it, I'm not letting You go. It's something we must believe in God. Amen? We must hold on to Him regardless of what happens. Well, look at what it says there in 3b. It says, when a person believes in lady luck, anything can happen. And there is nothing to trust in. Right in that blank, nothing or no one, actually, to trust in. I gotta tell you, you know, one time when Michigan State was playing UCLA in football, the score was tied at 14 with only seconds to play. And you know, Michigan State's coach, his name is Duffy Daugherty, he sent in the place kicker, his name is Dave Kaiser, who booted a field goal and won the game. And when the kicker returned to the bench, Coach Daugherty says, hey, nice going, kid, but you didn't watch the ball after you kicked it. And you know what Kaiser said? He said, well, that's right, coach. I was watching the referee instead to see how he'd signal it. I forgot my contact lenses, and I couldn't see the goalposts. True story! And he just... and look at the referee. Well, let me ask you, was that by chance? Or, well, what do you, well, the thing is, right, we realize, you're a Christian, oh, you praise God,
yeah.
Miracle! And, you know, here's the thing is, do you really want to go through life saying, well, it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Chance on. We'll see what happens. You know, if you go through life like that, you know, imagine there would be no goals. I mean, just like, whatever happens, happens. God doesn't want us to go through life like that. Look what it says here in Proverbs 29:18. It says here, when people do not accept divine guidance, what happens there? They run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And you realize, when you don't want to accept the words of God, you don't want to do what God wants you to do, it's what? You're going to run wild. You're going to do whatever you want. It feels good. Oh, okay, I'll go do. Everybody else doing what I'm doing. Chance them. Chance them. Let's go see what happens. Chance them. And you realize we can't live life like that, because when you start running wild, guess what? The hand of God will no longer be upon you. You're going to start doing things according to your own flesh, according to the ways of the world. We always must hook onto God and say, Lord, let Your will be done in my life. Lord, I'm going to do Your ways. I'm going to hold on to Your ways. Because, Lord, I know You got Your best in mind in my life. So now we always must do this. Because, you know, I'd rather be seeking God for His blessings in my life, because I want His goodness to be overflowing in my life. But in order for that to happen, we must hook onto God. Say, Lord, I'm following You. I'm trusting in You. And look what it says here in Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Hope. You delight yourself. That means you're saying, Lord, I believe in You. Lord, whatever I have, it comes from Your hand. Lord, I love You with my whole heart, with my whole life. I serve You. That's what it means to delight in the Lord. And guess what God's promise is if you do this? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Because we're going to have right desires. If we're close to God, you're not going to go say, okay, now give me a red Porsche 911. Or whatever. Was that the right motto? Porsche whatever. And say, Lord, just give me that Lamborghini. You know? No, you're going to ask for the right things. You're going to say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do it according to your will. Because you know what? For the world that is lost and think that they are so lucky, they don't have really anything but a void in their heart. And they have no idea what God can offer them. And you realize this is true, right? You hear it a lot of times where even the millionaires and the billionaires that don't know God, they say, you know, I got everything I could ever want. I got it all. But I still feel something is missing. Guess what it is? It's the love of God. They have that void because they're missing Jesus. And not until they come to know Jesus as their Savior, then they go, oh, now I am filled. Now I am complete. And we realize that's what it is. When you don't know God, yeah, you can say you're incomplete. Because God made us to worship Him. God made us so that we can live our lives fully in serving Him and giving Him glory. You know, on NBC's Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. You guys know Johnny Carson, right? You know, he read an item from the lost and found column of a Midwestern newspaper. And this is what the newspaper said in this lost and found column. It says, lost dog, brown fur, some missing due to mange, blind in one eye, deaf, lame leg, due to recent traffic accident and slightly arthritic, goes by the name of Lucky. Oh, would you want to be a dog named Lucky knowing you got all these problems? Doesn't sound like you're still lucky. Because believe me, you don't want to wander through life lost like a dog named Lucky, wondering, hey, is it ever going to get better? Am I ever going to be found? Is there a hope for a better tomorrow? That's what it is. You're like a lost dog, just wondering, well, am I... chances going to get better in life? Am I going to get lucky? A lot of times, we got to realize people in the world, that's what they're doing right now. They're just wondering in all this confusion. So many things going on in the world. We got wars. We got disease and pestilence. And they're wondering, what's happening? While we as Christians say, well, I'm holding on to God, and I'm not letting go. I trust in my God. And I know He will take care of me. He will protect me. I know that I am safe and secure in His hand's grip. You know, remember when I said earlier the title of my sermon is Lady Luck versus Father God of Blessings. Well, I want you to take a look at 1 Chronicles 29:11 here. It says here, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is what?
Yours.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. You know, according to this verse, I was reading this. You know what? Lady Luck, she's no contender. Because in reality, she doesn't even exist. But the world somehow created, oh, Lady Luck is on my side. Well, if you got Lady Luck on your side, well, I don't want to say good luck. You know? I just want to say, man, you got to turn to God. Because you know what? Think about this. If we just relied on chance, we would have to worry every day, right? As you look out into the ocean, right? You go to Alamona Beach. You know what? Think to yourself, man, are these ocean waves going to go beyond the shoreline and onto our land and come upon us? Because really, if you think it's all chance, hey, every day you should be worried that these waves will come and just come onto the land and just come into our homes and just, you know, wash us away. Or do you believe it is the very hand of God that is telling the ocean, hey, you can't come this, you can't go beyond this point. This is as far as you will go. And here's another thing. If we relied on chance, you know what? There may be constant darkness with very little chance of daylight. Think about that. Because, you know, by chance, right? Oh, the sun may not come out. Right? Or it could be the other way around, too, where, you know, we're going to be just constant light. There will be no darkness. And we realize, hey, someone has to be behind all of this, right? Has to be God. There has to be a creator that created all this and is in control of all this. And if we relied on chance, there would be constant falling stars crashing to the earth. Because you know what? There are billions of stars, right? In our universe. You know how big these stars are? They're humongous. Imagine they all start crashing down on earth. We would be all annihilated. Is it by chance that they're held up there? Or is it by the very hand of God that knows what He's doing? He's keeping them up there. And you know, if we just relied on Lady Luck, there'd be no hope for a brighter future or eternal destiny anywhere. And that's why some people believe, oh, once I take my last breath, I'm dead. That's it. I go 6 feet under the ground. I got no hope for anything. And we don't believe that. Praise God. We believe that there's an eternity because God, He was deliberate. He wanted us to be drawn close to Him. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He made a way for us so that we will never be eternally separated from God. We will always be close to the Father because that's what He desires for all of us. Amen? I want to conclude by showing you this video, one of my favorite songs. It's called My Redeemer Lives. Benson, you can go and play that.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? This far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can capture for me star? Well, I know my redeemer. I
Praise God. He lives.
Yes.
Praise God. He loves all of us. And we realize he's our Father God that wants to bless us. It has nothing to do with luck or chance. We know our Father God, he's very deliberate when he says, I want to bless you, child, because you belong to me. Because you put your faith in my son. You are my property. God says, I love you. I cherish you. I will lavish you my love. That's the promise of God. We hold on to these promises and we don't let go of them. Amen. And we realize, God, he has greater and greater things in mind for us. We just got to hook on to God. Don't let go. Forget about Lady Luck. Let's make it a point. Don't say I'm lucky anymore. Right? Say I'm blessed. And regardless if the person is a believer or not, you tell that person, especially if they're a non-believer. They say, oh, you're so lucky. Hey, I'm blessed. I'm tremendously blessed by my Father God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's come before our Lord God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And I know, Lord, this is a message you have put in my spirit, my heart, Lord, that I know you have spoken through me, Father, and I praise you, Lord, knowing, Father, you love us so much. And we know, Father, it's not by chance that I spoke this message today. If there's someone in this room right now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've been telling people that I'm a Christian, that I trust in God, yet I don't give him the glory. When good things happen, I tell people, oh, I'm so lucky. Oh, I'm a lucky person. But I don't give any praise to God. Well, know that our Father God, he loves you so much. And he loves to bless you. But when you don't give him the glory for what he has done, there may be a day where he may not continue to lavish more and more his blessings upon your life. Because he wants it that your heart gives him the full devotion. And right now, if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you're going to make it a point to say, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to tell people how I'm so blessed by my Father God, by my Lord Savior Jesus. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to tell the whole world that I am blessed because of my Father's great love for me. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, we're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I'm going to make it a point. I'm going to give all the glory to God. Can you raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm going to give you all of the glory. I'm not going to stop giving you praise and thanks for all that you have done for me, all that you have provided for me, because I know and understand now it comes from your hand. Lord, the only thing I can say is thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for loving me so much. I pray, Father, that you will continue just to pour out your blessings upon everyone in this room, Father. Let your blessings be so abundant, Lord. Let them have perfect health, Lord. Let them have all that they need in life, Father. Knowing, Father, it comes from your very hand. You are our provider. That we never have to worry or be anxious about anything because you promised that you will be the one to help us to live lives that are victorious, that we will never be without. You will amply supply all of our needs. Father, we praise you, knowing that you truly are our Lord God and King. Right now, Father, we just want to express that to you and let our hearts be overflowing of your goodness, overflowing of your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, Amen. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? We can start off by praying a simple prayer, but this prayer must come from your heart, from your soul. You know, because mere words won't get you saved. It's an expression that's from deep within you, deep within your soul, that you're crying out to God. I'm going to lead you in this prayer in a few minutes here. And if you're ready and you're willing to say, Lord, I want to live for you. Father, I want to accept you into my life. I want to live my life fully devoted to you. If you feel there's a tugging at your heart right now, know that's the Holy Spirit tugging you to come into the family of God. Because, you know, our Father God loves you so much. He wants you to be a part of the family. But the only way to do this, you must accept His Son, Jesus Christ, into your life. You must believe in Him with your whole heart. And if you're ready, if you're willing, you're saying yes to Jesus right now. You just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus with my whole heart. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You put your hands down. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why don't we pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray together as a family. It's expressing what is deep within our hearts about what we believe about God. Let's repeat after me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe in your Son, Jesus
Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart.
And He lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says, if I confess of my sins,
you
are faithful and just
to forgive me of my sins
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him. And I live for Him only.
I am property of Jesus Christ.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life,
for I give you praise.
In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Let's all